Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton. With me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the divine self and what it looks like when one lives in the knowledge of the mystical I, the I of all being. In this show, we will discuss the application of I am as the gateway to accepting spiritual identity. Listen as we explore some of the mystical claims of Jesus in the Bible as instruction for poor humanity to wake up. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and live under the influence of spiritual awareness. Swami, I see the title of today's show is I Am as Revelation of Divine Egoism. Now, I know there's a lot of words in there, but I think we need to maybe have some description as to what we're talking about here.
Yeah, we're talking about the great I Am, which is the foundation of all human wisdom, founded on the understanding of only one life, oneness, not merely a belief in one God, but only one being. And I have something here from Ralph Waldo Emerson, which kind of helped me to grasp the idea, and I'll read it. It is one of those fables which out of an unknown antiquity convey an unlooked for wisdom, that the gods in the beginning divided man into men, that he might be more helpful to himself, just as the hand was divided into fingers, the better to answer its end. End of quote. What we learned is the importance of starting out from the one and not the belief in the many, and how to turn from the belief in the many back to living in this one, only one perfect divine life, looking at itself, as itself, of itself, and to itself. And so in this show, that's what we really want to start to focus on.
Well, I think I'd like to talk more about what we mean even by that word I. And we're not talking about I as a personal pronoun. We're talking about something much more than that. Can you shed some light about that?
Yeah, ignorance is when the I is understood to be personal and divided. And truth is when the I is understood as the one perfect divine life, the I of all being. Now, as you start to let this truth dawn on you, it's not really something we're making happen here. We're letting this truth, we're letting the one perfect divine life reveal itself. And so in order to do this, it's called a turning. It's called repent. It's thinking differently. And the only way I really can understand that is when you look in a mirror and you see that reflection in the mirror and it's doing everything you're doing as the image before it, but there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in that reflection. And we know that. Now, to understand the truth of being, we're living from the perspective of the reflection. And so I love what Joel Goldsmith said, we're the dummy trying to live without the ventriloquist. Divine truth is the only life. It's the only thing that's real. And the reflection, which is this false sense of self, it's a mental image about the divine creation, which isn't real. And we have to turn. We have to turn away from our belief that we are a finite mortal being. And in doing that, we give up the personal sense of self. And at the same time, we accept this universal, impersonal sense of self. And this requires a shift in our perception. It really requires that we stop activating our five material senses, which is getting its information from the human mental creation, and then we let our mind be an avenue of awareness for the presence of the divine creation. And then in silence and in stillness, we watch, we wait, we let. But as long as we're not thinking, forming thoughts and opinions based on information coming through the material senses, then we're creating that opportunity to activate our spiritual senses. And this is what we've been calling, when this light dawns on your consciousness, that was what was called the birth of Christ.
So we no longer want to think about I as being ourselves, and we don't want to talk about or think about we either, meaning me and God, because we would assume a duality also. Would that be correct?
Yeah, we must get rid of the two-ness. There can't be anything other than the one perfect divine life. And this is what Jesus meant when he said, keep my commandments, that the first commandment, thou shalt not put anything before me. And we don't understand that very well because we believe or we accept the idea of one God, but we haven't gone far enough with that, that it is one being, one life. And if God is all and infinite, who am I? Who are you? And so as we start to educate our thought up to comprehending this, as we start to break away from thinking with our mortal mind, and we begin to activate our spiritual senses, we shift from believing into powers and working with the information that is divided from the truth of being, and then we start to think in terms of the absolute. Spirit is whole, it's complete. It never needs anything added to it or taken away from it, but it's absolute, which means that it's not dualistic. There's no time, space. There are no concepts. There's no belief or matter. There's no thinking in spirit. There's no human will, and there's no personal sense. So as we start to educate our thought up to this and we begin to shift from thinking in terms of the rational and we begin to start to understand how to think in the absolute, because divine mind, there's no time. It's eternal. It's infinite. So we get rid of now and then. We get rid of here and there. Because for divine truth, everywhere is here in the eternal now. So 5,000 years from now is now. 5,000 years ago is now. And you can't do this with the mind we are using to get us through this lifetime. We can't do this with the mortal mind. We have to activate our spiritual senses.
When we break away from these mortal obstructions that you were talking about, and then we come to this realization that God is all, is that what you mean in the title when you use the word revelation?
Right. And the revelation of divine egoism. There's only one life. And it's looking at itself, as itself, of itself, and to itself. But we are living out from this false sense of existence. We are the dummy. We are the reflection. And we have to give ourselves a half turn. We have to repent. And in doing this, we put off this personal sense of self. We put off the belief in the many. We reject the testimony of our material senses, essentially. And then we watch, we wait, we listen, we let this divine truth begin to express itself through us. And then we start to see what all of these promises in scripture are really all about.
We have a soundbite here from Herb Fitch that I think might be really interesting to play. And this is from the Mystical Eye Class 2B.
Yeah, and you can receive these. You can get these on your own at mysticalprinciples.com if you're interested.
So that we say, well, I'm only 10% light. Another fellow, in his way, he says, I'm 20%. Somebody gets as high as 50 and 60. But to live in the kingdom of God, we have to be 100% divine light. Accept it. No other. No second. No mammon, only God. And therefore, being that life, we fear not what mortal man or mortal circumstance can do, because mortal anything is not life. And then with our hands behind our back, knowing that where the mortal seems to be, only my life is there. Right where the enemy seems to be, only my life is there. Right where everything seems to be, everywhere, is my one life. Whom shall I fear without denying that truth? Whom shall I hate? Whom shall I condemn without denying that truth? And therefore, to be true to that truth is the only fidelity which is acceptable unto the Lord. I cannot live in a human body. You place the center in God, and the whole circumference in God, your being in God. You're not accepting yourself as undivine. And you're not waiting to die to do it. And then your faith deepens to understanding. And your faith becomes a livingness in my divine self. Never once condescending to compromise to the tempter who would say you are not divine. This food will make you fat. This food will make you thin. This vitamin will perk you up. Who are they talking about? Your mortal self? You gave that away. Because your trust is that if I live in my divine self, it will govern what appears to be the mortal self perfectly. For my life, I take no thought. I have to take thought for that mortal fellow, but I take no thought for my life because my life is the life of God. And then your faith and fidelity are in that life to govern itself perfectly. Your consciousness stays there, sowing that life, that spirit, that being. Your mind is not on what you shall eat, where you shall go, or how to protect yourself from the evils of the world, because you're living in the kingdom of God on earth as that life of God, realized. Not boxed off in a form, not entombed as the human world walks. You're learning from the Master that when he stands there and sees a bond slave miles away and doesn't blink an eye and instantly says, I will go heal him, he is saying, his life and my life are the same life now. And to that we say, yes, I see it. And therefore, the life of Jesus Christ and I are the same life now. The life of Jesus Christ and everyone he allegedly healed were the one life. The same life. The identical life realized by that one which made it a majority. And now we're going to be that one which makes it a majority. You can't pollute my water. You can't poison my food. You couldn't pollute the water of Jesus Christ or poison his food. All you could do is poison your own thought. You cannot enter the consciousness of life. You can only enter the consciousness of one who lives in form. We learn that the power of life is omnipotent power. It maintains its own perfection at all times. It knoweth its own needs. And because that is you, it knoweth your needs. You completely unburden all your cares in the acceptance of that life. Now, I'd like to practice a few exercises, and maybe we should rest first. suppose we take a few minutes and then come back to practicing the one life, which is really the great secret of the Bible.
The way that he starts that off when he says, but to live in the kingdom of God, we have to be 100% divine life, accept it, no other, no second, no mammon, only God. You can't be partially spirit. You cannot divide spirit. Spirit is absolute. In fact, one of the things we always say, there's no such thing as I am spiritual and you're not. So to even understand what it is to be spiritual is a really good starting point here, to be absolute. And then the other part is not only just absolute, but absolute goodness. There is no evil in divine truth. It's absolute goodness. It's not a mix of good and evil like the human mental recreation, because that is a belief in two powers. Divine truth is the understanding of one life, and it's perfect.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor, so listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So I may remember Herb Fitch talking about the tempter who would say you are not divine. Now, what is he referencing to with the word the tempter?
What he said, never once condescending to compromise to the tempter who would say you are not divine. This food will make you fat. This food will make you thin. This vitamin will perk you up. Who are they talking about? Your mortal self. He's also talking about all of the advertisements and everything out there that is telling us that we are not perfect. And then he's saying, you gave that away because you trusted if I live in my divine self, it will govern what appears to be the mortal self perfectly. And this is what we're learning. The outer world of sense and the inner world of spirit become one when divine truth is the only consciousness. And that's where he said, for your life, take no thought. Well, that's what it says in the Bible. I really like what Mary Baker Eddy said in Miscellaneous Writing, and I'll paraphrase it. For Jesus to walk on water was science. But until poor humanity walks on water, for them to step onto the Atlantic isn't wisdom or science. Until we really have accepted ourselves to be spiritual, until we know this truth, then we are not under the protection of the divine law. So you really want to start to do this with toe in the water. That's why I really like the way Mary Baker Eddy suggests we do it. You start with a belief in the divine creation, and then you start to learn to rely on this invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence, and it begins to reveal itself to you. That's what is called faith. In the Bible, it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And then, as Mary Baker Eddy says, as we graduate from faith to understanding, because to understand this divine truth and to know this is what the Bible also says, know the truth and it makes you free. And it makes us free from the belief that we are not the image and likeness of the divine, that we are not spirit.
What's interesting is that Herb Fitch said in that last soundbite, and then your faith deepens to understanding and your faith becomes a livingness in my divine self. I just think it's interesting that it seems like they're saying the same thing.
Yeah, that's something I have noticed all along. I don't think there's anything that Joel Goldsmith or Herb Fitch really says that Mary Baker Eddy didn't already say. But the thing I do like is Joel Goldsmith is more contemporary in his language. And the other thing that's really great is that we don't have any audio files of Mary Baker Eddy. And it's really helpful for me to hear the way that somebody would say these things. And one of the things I really notice is the conviction that they speak with. You talk about speaking with authority. You know you're listening to truth.
I do have one more curiosity about a Herb Fitch soundbite. And you had started to talk about it. For my life, I take no thought. I have to take thought for that mortal fellow, but I take no thought for my life because my life is the life of God. So is he talking about that we have to take thought for our mortal beings, but take no thought for my life because my life is the life of God? I think I just maybe need some clarification there.
Yeah, well, like he said in the beginning, until you are 100% accepting yourself to be spirit, then you're not under the protection of divine law. Like he says in Revelation of St. John, and I'll read it, and I can step on a plane tomorrow without divine protection, but let me know that spirit is my name wherever I am, and I am under the perfect law of God. To the degree that I do not drop my awareness that spirit is my name, to that degree do I walk in the kingdom of God on earth, deny it voluntarily or involuntarily, knowingly or unknowingly, and you step out of the kingdom of God, walking defenseless in the midst of non-existent powers that can actually kill you. Right, so here's where I think he's really letting us know that if we are not conscious of the divine creation, then of course you can't use this principle. You're still under the law of karma. You still have a belief in two powers. You're in the cycle of death and rebirth. And you haven't gone far enough. You're not 100% accepting yourself to be spirit.
I'd like to take some time to talk about the claims that Jesus made in the Bible when he talks about the I am. And I'm wondering if we can go over some of those verses now.
Yeah, we have something here. John 6:35. And I'll read it. And John said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. End of quote. I think it's very important to understand here that when Jesus is talking about I here, he's not talking about a personal sense of self. He's not talking about him as a person. He's talking about the Christ within. He's speaking from the one divine self, which is the divine self of all creation. And I think to really grasp this a little bit further, we have something from Mary Baker Eddy that I'd like to read from a paper that she wrote called Body. The term mind and body I understand to mean God and man, Man, the manifestation and embodiment of mind, is the body of mind, is the infinite aggregation of spiritual ideas forever held, controlled, and governed by the law of life, harmony, and completeness. So man was never born, never had a claim, never sinned, never left heaven, but is spiritual, perfect, harmonious, and eternal. This understanding is the savior to our belief of body, the law of recovery of every and any claim of error. There is just one God and one body. End of quote. Okay, and this is what we're saying, the importance of starting with the one. Starting from the understanding of one perfect divine life. Because without that, we have no principle.
Swami, this verse is from John 8:12. This is the King James Version, and I'll read it. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Hoping that maybe you can give us some understanding of what is Jesus talking about here.
Yeah, in spirit, there is no darkness. It's eternal light. Eternal life is the changeless state of being. And to walk in darkness is to walk in a belief in two powers. To be of this world and not thy kingdom. And this is, again, another way of saying sowing to the flesh, a belief in matter, or sowing to the spirit, a belief in the one perfect divine creation.
And it's interesting you said that because I have another verse here from John 8:23, and I'll read it. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. So here is he talking about what you're saying, the mortal existence that we know of, and then the spiritual existence that he is from.
Right, that there's definitely seems to be two streams of life. There's this lower realm of sense and this higher realm of spirit. And the message here is that the outer world of sense and the inner world of spirit become one when divine truth is the only consciousness. When we are a faithful witness to the divine creation, and we no longer believe in what is appearing in the material senses, we no longer accept mortality, then we now are under the government of the perfection of being.
Now, is that why on John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Is he saying that there is no time, so therefore he was before man?
Right. That's what we said earlier. In spirit, there is no time. Time has now and then, and spirit is the eternal now. 5,000 years ago, for spirit is now. 5,000 years from now, in spirit is now. It's absolute. And again, we can't comprehend that with the mind that we're using to get us through this lifetime. We have to graduate to spiritual sense in order for us to be able to communicate with that.
Well, we are going to start breaking down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. On the homepage, you see the Fading Banner Blog Talk Radio. Click it, directs you to its catalog page. Click the products tab, online classes, directs you all the classes that Swami has available. Swami, any final thoughts about today's show?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kri Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and live under the influence of spiritual awareness. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. I'm Lisa Winton with Kenny Toys signing off. Have a wonderful Kriyoga kind of day. Namaste.